Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Hey.
It still counts. Your home run still counts, Q.
So Steiny has fun because during the break, I randomly, and I mean it, and I want to know, what'd you have for dinner? But you, I asked Evan, you ever hit a home run?
And
your answer was?
Yes, I've hit a home run before.
Look at my
multiple
man.
Home runs before.
You said it kind of like Arthur Fonzarelli, like, how dare, of course I have.
Well, you know, we're self-deprecating, and we like to make fun of our low moments, or at least you and I do. Steiny doesn't, because he always has to be on top. But...
Shut
it doesn't
up,
mean that I didn't know what I was doing.
No, at the I got like, you.
You know, I certainly had some shortcomings.
You were Ohtani. You did both.
I wasn't Ohtani. But yes, well, I think most people play, if you know what you're doing, you play both ways in high school.
And I said I hit the home run, not in high school. Shout out to James Logan Colts. But softball, I was Sammy Sosa, as you know, the company picnic last year.
That's what I'm saying. It still counts. You know, just because it happened in an exhibition or batting practice, that's why I would give you a chance to go deep in a big league park.
Man,
I'd give you a chance. I don't know if you could do it, but it's
a possibility. I appreciate that. That makes us tighter too.
Well, you know,
can we set that up?
You got to. Yeah,
that's on you.
You got Contos on your podcast.
Contos has no pull.
Hook it up, please.
Yeah, Rizzo's got more juice than the rest of us.
Delbonte, hook it up.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson.
What are we doing, E?
Well, we are going to talk about some training camp stuff upcoming in just a little bit. There's also a piece of a pretty provocative sound that you wanted to get to later in the show. But... I do want to clean up some phone calls while we got them, and let's go out to, well, one of our favorites, Leroy, who's out in Oakland, wants to get in on it. What's up, Lee?
Hey, what's up, Evan? What's up, Goo?
You got it?
Hey, Goo.
What's up, baby?
Hey, I heard you, Goo, and you know I always say, hey, Goo, Evan, we got history, man. And
we do.
You know, before the trade, you know, the Giants are rolling, you know, and I just kind of like to look at things from this way, where I'm looking at it and I'm going, even though we're winning, what do we need? Like, where do I see we're kind of lacking? And I kind of just didn't go, you know, I don't have a troll in my body.
No, I
didn't
get it.
See a bat, right? I didn't see Devers, right? I saw us needing a pitcher, right? And so when we brought him in, you know, when you have a want and it doesn't happen, you're like, man. And so when we brought him in, okay, all right, he's cool. But I just didn't think he fit chemistry-wise, you know. That's the other thing, Goo, Evan. Chemistry-wise, it seems like you got two best friends in him and Adames, and then it's like all the other players are like strangers toward one another. I mean, they get a hit or they get a home run, and it's kind of a half bump, and it's like everybody's out there kind of just playing for one another. You know what I mean? Playing for themselves instead of playing for one another. And I just think it's a chemistry issue. I like, they just look, you know, they're a boring team right now. You know what I mean? And I just think they need some kind of fire. I always wanted Framber Valdez, the left-hand pitcher from Houston.
Yeah.
I thought he would have made a difference. I don't mind us getting a bat. I even wanted, hey, if we was going to get a bat, take Josh Naylor, right, who the Mariners just got from Arizona. But yeah, I just thought he didn't fit chemistry-wise. But I'm hoping, you know, they pick it up and we get rolling. But, man, it's just looking bad right now.
Yeah, don't hang up the phone. Yeah, don't hang up the phone. We'll respond. But, Evan, I would just ask Leroy, as he's listening, I mean, what culture did you have? You weren't making the playoffs. So I would ask you, this team that's been looking for a bopper, this watch Tatis, Freddie Freeman, Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and your boy, my new love right now, Tatis, come to town and show you what exciting baseball looks like with the stick. What is Leroy possibly talking about? He didn't fit what we do. Lee, we hadn't made the playoffs in forever. Since one of, like, I'm asking you, Evan, what could he possibly have thought that Devers wouldn't fit?
Well, I do also want to dig in, and if Leroy's still there, you know, where do you think that the chemistry issue, where do you see it the most kind of show up, at least when they haven't been playing well?
You know, I just thought that the Giants players were like, we were rolling.
Yeah.
Why bring this cat in? Like, you didn't have faith in what we were doing? Like you were saying, Goo, hey, how do we know that wasn't fool's gold? But, hey, I would have liked to see if it wasn't. And I was just like, you know, the players kind of just checked out. Like, everybody's saying we need these, this bat. But, hey, we're rolling. We're hitting. And I think when they brought in Devers, I think the rest of the players were like, man, they didn't have any confidence in what we were doing and didn't have any confidence in us going forward as hitters, as a team. Now we got to bring in Devers. And I think, you know, it kind of hurt the guys, if you ask me.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And obviously, the results would be on your side of the argument because they haven't been playing great baseball since Devers got here. I think they're 14-22. But
yeah, 13-22.
13-22. Yep. You can't tell me though that adding a great player to a team should hurt it.
Jimmy Butler on line one, he changed the fortune of the regular season.
Well, he changed it for good. I mean, they were middling. They were below 500.
Gosh.
He absolutely sprung them.
So if we're given any credence,
but it's not
to,
as if Devers has kept them the same.
No, man.
It's like
they
people were
worse.
Expecting them for them to get better.
I was one of them.
They have gone in the opposite direction.
So I would just tell any Giant fan or ask him, Evan and Leroy, what are you saying about Buster Posey then? If it feels like you're saying he omitted something by going to get something that Leroy feels like the team didn't need, and now they're not performing because that kind of messed up the chemistry. Buster is in tune with the team, has played. Don't you think he covered his bases with that, knowing I don't have to – we're not that good. I need to go add this to what we already have. There's no questions needed to be asked, Leroy.
Well, and again, Buster, I think, he's trying to do this as quickly as he can. That's why you're seeing – free agent signings, you're seeing extensions, you're seeing trades. But I think he knows, and I got to give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows better than most, culture only takes you so far. And I know that the Giants championship teams were synonymous with chemistry, but they had a lot of talent on those teams. Buster Posey's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Tim Lincecum is a two-time back-to-back Cy Young Award winner. Madison Bumgarner was a perennial Cy Young candidate. Matt Cain at his best, a Cy Young candidate. Like, they had a lot of talent on those teams, and they also had great chemistry and culture. So it's a combination of both that he's trying to recreate, but the first thing you got to do is find some talent. Like, and I think the last couple of seasons with guys that were, you know, holdovers on this current roster showed you that, yes, maybe if everybody clicks at the same time, we can have a great 2021 season.
And it seemed like that was happening early on.
But the majority of the years are going to end up with you being disappointed.
Oh, man. Because that's how I feel right now for the Giants and the standard that I just have for them as a collective, what I'm seeing from them, the bonehead mistakes, and I know errors happen, but the base running, another ball dropped last night. It's like, man, Evan, what are we doing?
Oh, well, that was actually...
Evan, what? I mean, come on. Like, that's becoming, a signature at a Giants. Like, that can't happen.
No, the Giants broadcasters are beginning to get frustrated.
Okay.
You can tell. It's starting to, like, do you hear Kite?
Yes, I did.
The last time I heard him get that loud, he's who sees it? Who sees it?
I wish
Lee comes
had
in,
it.
Ramos doesn't have it.
Dude.
You know, the last time I heard him raise his voice like that was last year when Luciano was fielding a ground ball. And remember, Urgency.
Man,
you got to get that ball
that's a
out.
Four. You got him
that
down.
Was the last time that Kuiper's voice rose that high. And of course, this comes on the heels of in Toronto, Dave Fleming's no on a line drive to Elliot Ramos.
Shut up.
Thank you, Dave.
Flim.
Thank you, Dave. They're beginning to feel the frustration. I think the players are too.
There's no Evan, every at bat, here I go. I got to be careful. They feel like the Giant hitters are getting squeezed. You know, like you hear it. They're wearing it, and I love it. But, Evan, I got to say something back to Melvin or just managers and coaches because we're going to bring up Sala here before we get out of here. But, Evan, if I have an average player, do you think a good manager with his verbal game and his mental prowess like a Phil Jackson can make an average player a good player? Do you think that, like, do you think, are you saying, goo, there's no magic wand? I believe that, Evan.
An average player, a good player?
Yeah.
Well, I think he can
a
get
mid player.
He can get players to play at
player.
Their. Yeah, but a good manager gets players to play. I would say at their whatever their career average is.
Yeah.
Like
and sometimes maybe for a couple. I'm cutting you off for a couple days or weeks. Maybe you play above that and then you come back, but you never go past what you essentially are at the essence.
Exactly, and but that's the thing is a lot of these players, specifically on offense, have underachieved. Like Rafael Devers is underachieving based on what he's done
Evan
in his
why?
Career
W-H-Y.
At the plate. I don't know if I had the answers. Yeah, I might be managing the Giants. I might not be here. But Willy Adames has underperformed. Yeah, he's starting to come out of it. He's
no doubt
he's
about
been
it.
Hitting
I
the crap
give him
out of the
some
baseball.
Flowers, no doubt.
But overall, this year they were expecting more. Matt Chapman, meanwhile, has kind of been. This has been about the offensive player that he is, and he gives you great defense. But that's why I think, again, Posey identified a need and traded for it because he's looking at all these guys and he's saying, even if we get Yaz to hit a little better, Flores to hit a little better, that's still not going to get us to where we want to go. We need someone with a legitimate elite bat. And as great as Adames was even last year in Milwaukee, that you can't just have one of those guys and be a successful offense.
Yeah, but you're supposedly, the guys you just mentioned, you're supposed to have three, Evan, and then All-Star. Ramos was an All-Star last year, And again, if you look at his numbers and you didn't watch the game, he's not your problem with the bat, but it's just like, man, every giant player.
Ramos hit the ball well last night.
No, he did. Well, every giant player's come up with an opportunity to do something in said game, and it just seems like, Evan, if they got three hits on the night and they come up on that fourth at bat and the game's on the line, they're going to go 3-for-4. There's nothing wrong with going 3-for-4, but it just seems like they got buzzer luck all the way around right now. Well, and now the rotation's doing what it's doing.
And I don't know how many reinforcements they legitimately have. That's what Carson Wisenhunt was last night. He was a reinforcement. Carson Seymour was a reinforcement. And they were a reason why, they pitched well for being rookies and Wiz Hunt his debut, but they were not good enough to help you win that baseball game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Bob Melvin said this on Sunday. He said, we've been expecting Wiz Hunt for some time now. We even thought it might happen last year. That tells me that this particular individual, and maybe it might be a reflection of their farm system, it's being overpromised. Like us expecting young guys to come up through the system and help this team from what's happening right now, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
If we're seeing young players, it's because this team is not going in the right direction.
No doubt. And I don't want to see them. And that's why I feel like I love what I deem Buster being aggressive, using the trades and free agency or whatnot. And we'll have another offseason. But before we get to this new offseason, Evan, you just feel like the Giants had a playoff chip to cash, and they had the best bullpen, and the rotation was filthy, and they were going to go back to 10, 12, and 14, timely hitting and defense, and all of a sudden that's fallen off, and I don't think it's too far-fetched when nobody, that I know has answers to put it at the helm of the coaches and just question what's going on. That's all.
Well, I think people are questioning what's going on, but it's not as if you can just, I guess you could fire the hitting coach and manager, but the question is, what does that really accomplish? For example, like the Texas Rangers made a move earlier this year. They replaced Donnie Ecker with Brett Boone as their hitting coach. I know they're winning games right now, but they're still a bottom 10 offense. Yeah. How much is that really going to make the guys that are having to go to bat and swing it? All right, you want to move off of this?
Let's do it, man.
All right, let's get on to 49ers training camp. Yeah, call an audible for me. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. 49ers training camp. There was something that, and it's been apparent in training camp so far, but to me, it is as much about the players and the position battles as it is about the new voice, or I should say the familiar voice that's back for the Niners this year. And the more and more I hear from him, I've heard him twice now, at least at the podium. If the Niners are going to bounce back, if there's going to be a resurgence at Santa Clara, it's going to be because of Robert Saleh. He's the one guy that I feel like, yes, they lost all these players. Some were overpaid. Some viewed as cutting fat. But if, I mean, he was their biggest offseason acquisition. And the more and more I listen to him, I'm going to play some in a second here, I feel better about that thought.
No doubt. And I'll say this, Evan, shocker here to you all. I'm a guy that runs on emotion. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good, but I never run from it. I just like emotion. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And when I think of what Robert Saleh did with, you know, his time here with the Niners, parlaying that into a head coaching job, he deserved that. But I just thinking of when you brought him up this morning, the camera panning over to him, and you would think he had a set of pads and a helmet, but he didn't. But I felt like all that emotion and all that work that they put in that week and how they prepared, he was the captain of that, Evan. That's back. I feel like Wilkes couldn't give him that. I felt like Sorensen couldn't give him that. And now you got that back. So what I just told you and everybody listening, Evan, I believe, you know, when the verbal game is on point, you can make guys and gals play above who they are naturally. I think Robert Saleh possesses that. So for you to say, you know, that's back, I think that bodes well. And I hadn't brought it up about, hey, what are we going to see from these youngsters and Williams, you know, the 11 pick in the draft from the Niners, how's he going to respond? But now he's got a dude, you know, there to fire him up, Evan, that's done it too in regard to getting his unit to the Super Bowl. So that's a good thing. I'm all in now on Robert Saleh.
Well, and he's got his work cut out for him. I mean, I don't know if he's had this many young players. I would have to go look at some of the Jets defenses that he coached. But the Jets also had a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And the Niners they're top heavy, right? Warner, Bosa, Lenore. They got some names on that side of the football. But every single time I'm listening to him, like I'm hearing about Mykael Williams, that Upton Stout.
Man.
About Alfred Collins, CJ West. There are a lot of dudes that he's gonna have to figure out how to get the best out of. But in a way, you know, it's funny we're talking about coaches and managers and extracting. You were asking the question, can you get good out of average? Why do I feel like if there's anybody that can, it's going to be him?
I believe because this sound we're about to hear, for me, Evan, goes a long way. I was like, I'm digging that. I like to hear that, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, this is kind of the mindset that I'm talking about. This was from yesterday at the podium. Robert Saleh was asked a question about how you balance how much you throw at a guy. Like, you know, a quarterback, how much do you put on their plate of how much to do, the decisions to make, versus how much you just let them play? Mm-hmm. I thought this was a really interesting answer and story from Robert Saleh.
I always tell the story back in 2019. If you guys remember that defense was pretty damn good, and we had that Halloween game against Arizona on Thursday Night Football, and it was the first time we were playing Kyler Murray. And I feel like I take responsibility. I put an enormous amount of pressure on Fred in that game to make sure that we were in the right call, and I did not do him I did him a disservice because he was thinking the whole game and not playing. And so the learning experience for me, it's not about the call, it's not being in the right call, it's about making sure that the players can go fast as heck. And you know, so Fred was kind of that trigger where they all have a breaking point. Doesn't matter. And Fred is, I mean, he's like a computer smart, you know, and it's, but at the same time, they still got to be able to do it within 20 seconds of getting a call and being able to react and play fast. So you're always trying to learn your players, and you're always cognizant of what that ceiling is, because you never want to sacrifice their ability to play fast just for the sake of being a guru as a play caller.
Wow.
I think there's a lot there, and we're going to unpack it as we move towards the next segment too. But when you hear that, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I would love for that guy to be my instructor, or that guy to help me be better in my profession, whatever it was, Evan. If we were in Microsoft or just, you know, sport, I like that ideology. I just do. Because there's a human, like, he's not holding
100%.
Evan to guru standards. I'm going to try to get the best out of Evan.
But I got to read each person for who they are. Like, he's saying Fred Warner's he's a computer.
Yeah.
He's a machine. But even he has a cognizant cognitive ceiling. Like, even Fred Warner, who is one of the most cerebral, yes, as well as physically dominant linebackers that we've seen in recent memory, even he, I got to figure out what I can put on his plate to get the most out of him and the rest of that defense.
Man, it's not just like robots, Evan. Some just, everybody's the same. No, I love that. I'm feeling that.
And that's why, again, I think he's the perfect guy for the job, because there's so much new about this defense that if there's someone who's going to read it, like, you know, with all due respect to the previous defensive coordinators, going back, obviously, to D'Amico Ryans,
yeah, gotcha,
and he's a leader of men, too, yeah, and has gotten the most out of a young defense.
Shout out to Texans.
Exactly, in Houston. But having a guy like that back who's worked with talented veteran defenses, who worked with young defenses, and has had a consistent ability to get the most out of them. You know, again, I'm not saying the 49ers are going to be back to being a top three, mm-hmm, or five unit like they were the last time that he was working with them, but I do get the feeling that they're going to get the most out of that amount of talent on defense.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking of, real quick here before we go to break, Evan, I'm thinking of Wilkes. I think he got a bad deal, but raw deal, but he also made some mistakes, but they played and performed well on the biggest stage in the Super Bowl. But the bottom line is, Evan, he was up in the suites, or he wanted to be, until they brought him back down. Robert Saleh's a dude that we're going to see on the sideline.
Wilkes?
Yeah, Wilkes. I'm kind of like built for this. But, you know, I like, that's just who he is, man. Hands on. I love it.
I mean, and again, there's also, look, he's got safety positions that are wide open.
No, is that a good or bad thing, E?
I don't know if it's a good thing. He's got a third corner position that's now wide open because Renardo Green got hit with a hamstring. He's supposed to be back before the beginning of the season, but right now, in terms of training camp, there's tryouts for that spot.
Gotcha.
And he likes someone like Upton Stout, but they're moving a lot of people, Trey Brown, a lot of people in. But he's also willing to tell you that position's wide open.
Yeah.
Because he knows it. There's no reason in lying about it. And he knows that he has his work cut out for him. That's also another level of honesty that I don't know we get from a ton of our coaches. You know, throughout the Bay Area, last night, what's wrong? Well, you know, Melvin says, we were right there and I really felt like we were going to win. There's no honesty about how I don't feel like I know how he's feeling.
Now, E. Kerr said a couple years ago, we got about three spots open, and I hated it, but he was being honest.
He was being honest. So we actually got to talk about him later, too, because people are beginning to come down his road this offseason, and I can kind of get it. All right, coming up this afternoon at 4:30, the Valkyries take on the Atlanta Dream. You can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock. Brought to you all by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Back with you after this. That segment sponsored by carsforkids.org.